The sermon title is No Room Part 3, No Daylight Allowed. And if you haven't heard Part 1 and 2, I encourage you to go to the website and to our church's website and view those sermons if you haven't. And I'd like to say that this is number 3 and this will be the end, but I talked about last week I wanted to get into about our prayer life, but I'm not going to make it there, so we're going to have another one after this one, if not a couple more. We have looked at and talked about the mechanics of sin that was listed in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We shared that at the fall of mankind, that Adam and Eve were tempted in all three categories, and they fell to temptation and fell in sin. We have looked at Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus, a little bit later on. We're going to go back there again today. He was tempted in all three categories, but he did not sin. We asked the question, what was Satan trying to accomplish? And obviously, we see that he was trying to get Jesus to fall to temptation and to sin. But if we look a little deeper, we see that Satan was trying to see if there was there in Jesus' life, if there was any daylight between him and the Word of God. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Your life is no longer the old life that you used to live, but we now live according to a different set of standards, a different set of direction in our life. You not only have a spiritual life, but you also have a personal life. But Jesus is not only involved in your spiritual life, he wants to be involved in your personal life as well. We pray and we make decisions according to the scripture of everything that we do, everything that we say in the direction of our life. When we see that we are praying for something that may not necessarily be identified in the Bible, we still pray for God's leading, God's direction, and we pray for God's peace over that. If I'm going to purchase something and I don't have peace, you know what? I don't buy it. If I'm going to get something or do something and I don't have peace, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Only after I have the peace and the leadership of the Holy Spirit that is in my life. Because Jesus not only wants to lead you in your spiritual life, he wants to lead you in your personal life, because it's all encompassing once you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Satan was trying to see that if there was any daylight between Jesus' desires, what he wanted to do, what he wanted to accomplish in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he wanted to see if there was any daylight between Jesus and the Word of God. Because if there was daylight there, he knew that he could continue to tempt him in those areas of his life. And what did he find? He found no daylight whatsoever. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, one that many of you have memorized, you know this scripture. It says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you indeed are a new creation. New does not mean renewed. It does not mean renovated. It does not mean reformed. It does not mean rehabilitated. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things, my old nature has passed away, and I walk in the newness of my life in every area of my life today. Amen. So now go with me to Ephesians 4. If you're attending CE with us in the adult class, you're hearing this over and over, because we've been going to this book every week, and all of a sudden it starts ending up in the sermon every week as well. But when you look at Ephesians 4, verse 20, Ephesians 4 and verse 20, it says, but you have not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, your former way of living, your former standard of living, your former ethics that you had in your life have changed, because your ethics now line up with the Word of God and it does not line up with the world's direction. It says the old man, and I'll have to say the old woman, right? which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. The new man is Christ, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The old man is dead. I walk in the newness of life that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a brand new set of goals in my life. I am changed forever. My values have changed. My goals have changed. My values should line up with the Word of God, not with the word that is in the world. So if we have a secular worldview, your ethics and your values are going to line up with the world. But if you have a biblical worldview, your ethics, your values, your decisions in life are going to line up with the Word of God and always line up connected to the Word of God. In Jesus' life, the adversary was trying to see if there was any daylight there. If there was any daylight, any place that he could get in and continue to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. My Christian walk should and must, and listen to me, God demands it, line up with the Word of God. There's too many Christians have the opinion that as long as they know Jesus Christ in the world, they can act and do what they want. This was a problem that we see among the Nicolaitans that is pointed out in the book of Revelations. As long as I am spiritually saved, it doesn't matter what I can do with the flesh. Whatever I do in the flesh is okay, because you know what? I know Jesus. I can do this. I can do that. I can live an adultery life. I can live a life of fornication. I can do all those things because I have Jesus in my heart. God forbid that we would take the ethics of the world, mold it into our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, and over here, I'm going to walk for Jesus, but over here, I'm going to walk in the world. Everything needs to be brought under the covering of my new life that I have in Jesus, and everything needs to be submitted to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Every motivation you have should line up with the world. Your thought life should line up with the Word. Your love for your spouse should line up with the Word. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. In verse 27, we've talked about this so many, many times in the last 3 weeks. Nor give place to the devil. Between my life and the Word of God, there must be no daylight that would give a foothold to the adversary. Now I'm going to get into next week's sermon a little bit. The adversary is not all-knowing, he's not all-powerful, and he's not everywhere present. You get it? I gotcha. Our God is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. He can read the hearts and the lives of mankind. Satan cannot. Satan only knows what you tell him. Say that again. Satan only knows what you tell him. Satan only knows what he sees that your life is involved in. And when he sees that your life is involved in things, that there's daylight between you and the Word of God, hello, temptation is going to be there. We must be careful of what we say, what we involve our life in, what we're watching TV, what we're watching on the stupid thing that we have in our back pocket, front pocket, or shirt pocket, because this thing will lead us astray if we're not careful. We have to make sure that we turn our eyes away from things that our eyes should be turned away from, because my ethics are not of the world. My ethics are of the Word of God. And I line my life up with the Word of God in every aspect of my life. Do we get it? Amen. He knows what you tell him. Listen to me, husbands and wives. If you're in the house and you're talking to your wife and you get in an argument and you go outside and you say, well, I love you, honey, I'm going outside, and then you go out and you say, man, she is the stupidest woman you could ever marry in your whole entire life. You know who hears that? Satan hears that. And he likes to bring division into the family. He wants to bring division between you. He wants to destroy the family unit. And if you look at the world in which we live in today, with 60%, I don't know what that number is, of kids that are living in a house where there's only one parent, he has done his job very, very well. But the destruction of the family unit. We must be in tandem in our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus. and speak the truth of God's word, not the things of the world today. Ephesians 5:1 says this, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. We are to be imitators of God, not the world. Now look at Matthew 22, verse 37 with me. Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. And this is what it says. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Say that again. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So what does that mean? From your heart, from the very center of your universe, you must love God. He must be on the throne of your life. Do you love Him that much that Jesus is on the God is on the throne of your life? With all of your soul, from everything that makes you you, your personality must be centered on God. All your mind, is God in your thought life? Do you center it on God on a daily basis? Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So we go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. Verse 4 says this. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and listen to the word, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, or verse 15 and 17, we talked about this. We won't go there. He talks about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we've been talking the last couple weeks that these are the mechanics of sin. When he tempted Jesus, he tempted him in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and he knew not sin. When we see Adam and Eve, he tested them in the same three categories, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and we see that they were disobedient, they fell to temptation, and they sinned. We call these the mechanics of sin because whenever that you're tempted, it will be in one of these categories. Something that your flesh desires, something that your eyes see, or the pride of life. It takes in every aspect, it takes in every respect of your life. Do you now see what Satan was trying to accomplish in Jesus' life? He was trying to see, when we say that we must love God with our heart, our soul, and our mind, he was seeing if Jesus is loving God that much, that there was no separation between him and the Word of God. Do you love God more than you do this over here? Do you love God more than you do that over there? Let me show you what you can have if you would follow me and not follow God anymore. If you're truly the Son of God, throw yourself down because he will have his angels lift you back up. Even in that scripture, we see that the adversary twisted it, but what did Jesus say? He always repeated the word of God back to him, defeating him by the word of God. You and I need to be more involved in this word than what we are right now, so we can always feed the word back to the adversary when we face temptation. Because when we see these things and they come before our eyes, we can say no, because this is what the Word of God says. I bind that in the name of Jesus. I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So we take that authority through the Word of God. In this scripture, let's go to Matthew 4. You're going to get tired of going there. We've been going there for the last 3 weeks, but we're going to keep going back. So we go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. In verse 3, we'll go down to verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city. Now you ask, why would he talk about bread? Jesus was starving. He'd been 40 days in the wilderness. If somebody offered you a Snickers candy bar, you would say, man, I want that candy bar. But Jesus said, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God. That's what we live on. That's what we feed on. That is our substance that we need more than anything else than bread or a Snickers candy bar. For he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up on a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, the pride of life. Their hand shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now let me tell you, saints, idolatry is a bigger problem in the United States today than it was when Abraham's children made the golden calf, or when Moses and those children made the golden calf. Idolatry is a bigger problem that we have today, because you turn on a TV every day and it's showing you all kinds of things that you can have, and all you have to do is get it now, pay later, do this, do that. It will pull you away from your relationship with God because you put your eyes on the things of the world. The things of the world offers you zero. Where does truly all happiness come from? You talk about peace, you talk about joy. The things that every one of us long for and every one of us desire, it does not come from the world. It comes from our relationship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Not from the world. Get your eyes off the world. All is glitz and glamour. It has nothing to offer the children of God. He says in verse 7, he said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then he says in verse 8, I'll give you all this. All you got to do is worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus was being tempted in every aspect. Now listen to me. Jesus was being tempted in every aspect of his personal life. Was there daylight between his personal life and the Word of God? Your life, do you see it? In your life in Christ is your personal life. Your life in Christ is your spiritual life. Being a new creation encompasses all. So when you look at all the areas of life, how much daylight is there between you and the Word of God? What is there in your life that you're allowing daylight? And when you allow daylight between you and the Word of God, you're inviting the tempter to tempt you in that area. Is there an area in your life? Hey, let's be honest with each other. Everybody's got some daylight somewhere that they need to be working on. We're not foolish, and we're not dumb. And you know what? I always tell people, you love this church because we're just simple country people that are hardworking people. That's who we are. So let's just be honest with everybody and honest with each other. There's things in your life that probably, if you really take a good close examination of it, you would find daylight between you and the Word of God. And if there's daylight between you and the Word of God in that area of your life, then what is it you need to be shoring up and tightening up? What areas are you vulnerable to Satan's attack? That's what we're talking about. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more that you connect yourself to this Word, the more that you will get stronger in your walk that you have with the Lord Jesus. We are led by His Spirit. We are led by the Word. We are sanctified by the Spirit. We are sanctified by the Word. Your renewal process should be but through the Spirit and the Word of God. So we were talking in CE this morning, and I was telling everybody how I didn't used to have one of these, and I really don't like one of these. I would like to throw it away and never pick it back up again, but in our adventure that we're doing right now, that's impossible. But I'll tell you what I do every night, because I need this every night. I take it into the kitchen counter and I plug it in. Amen. You need to get your life plugged into the Word of God, not just once a week, not just every other week, not just on Sunday morning. Every day you need to be plugging your life into the Word of God, getting yourself renewed and empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your life. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I got. I don't have no more. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to those things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that gives you a lot of things to work on this week. Amen. Will you stand with me today? Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just rejoice in the time that we can gather together, be in the house, be with our family today. And Father, it's all about priorities. It's all about making decisions about things in our life for our lives to be renewed, for our lives to be closer to the Word, for our lives to be more connected to the Word, because we know that that's where our strength comes from, and we know that that's where our blessings come from. Father, be with my church family, strengthen them through the Word, and I pray that you would bless them this week. And Father, I pray that as the church endeavors what it's doing today, we know that you are the only one that can accomplish it, and we give you all the praise and honor and glory today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.